The story of Mark Merryboy, his mentor, would make a good Hollywood movie. Born on the Navajo Reservation, Mark Merryboy became a boxer, a rodeo cowboy, a college graduate, and a prominent Native American activist, and that was all before his historic election to public office. I interviewed Mark in the student library at the USU campus in Blanding.
I was born at the St. Christopher's Mission, right east of Bluff, Utah, on the Navajo Reservation on the south side of the San Juan River. I went to school in Bluff Elementary School and then high school here in Blanding, Utah, graduated from San Juan High. Then I attended University of Utah, graduated in 1978, worked off the reservation for a while, and then came back to the reservation.
When's the last time you did any rodeo cowboying?
I say last year.
Really?
Yes.
And how old are you?
I am now 58 years old. Most of the guys that I used to rodeo with are now considered senior citizens, and I still try to be 16.
What stage of your life were you boxing?
I've been boxing all the way up to, I say, age 50, but my prime was between 16 and probably 35.
Now, you have observed a lot of history of this county. Do you think it's getting better, or some people seem to feel hopeless, or is it changing?
Any time when you have a minority population, specifically with Native Americans, they are sovereign nations with treaties with the United States government, and unfortunately, sometimes those issues clashes with the county government. In some ways, people are a little bit more educated now, and the society seems to be maturing. Unfortunately, I think discrimination still is very strong among the people.
Well, what are some ways that people react? It was said that there's still a lot of problems with the way the school system works, and it ends up being discriminatory.
Native American population in San Juan County is bigger than the white population, but as far as the school board, there are more non-Native Americans who are on the school board. So for that reason, I think a lot of times the needs of the students, academic needs, are overlooked.
I guess it was back in the 90s they did that study about whether to just split into two counties.
I think that was an idea that surfaced when I was a county commissioner, simply because Navajos were not getting the services that they felt like they deserved from the county, and they felt like it was best to just split the county, since most of the revenues, oil and gas revenue, was being produced on the reservation. But Navajos backed off on that issue. But I think it's still out there, and eventually that might become another issue.
You hear some, not just here, but in some other counties that have sovereign lands, people claiming that they don't pay as much taxes and don't carry their weight as far as paying for county services. Do you hear that argument here?
You hear that argument all the time. For some reason, that blame is always placed on Native Americans. And you have to remember that all of this structure of sovereignty was created by Congress. So Congress has to fix that.
What would be your best hope for how this gets resolved eventually? What's your best case scenario?
People have to realize that Native Americans were here before non-natives. You're talking about millions and millions of acres that was taken away from them. I think in the minds of many Native Americans, they want to see justice. They want to see equal treatment. As far as not paying tax, I think Congress is pursuing every year to abrogate the treaties of Native Americans. So Native Americans need to work hard, probably even more so than your average person out on the street. Get good education, pursue a career there. I think that's the only choice we have as Native Americans.
Now, am I correct that you were the very first Indian council member?
Yes, I was the first Native American ever elected to a public office in the state of Utah. It's a hard job being a county commissioner or being public official as a Native American, because your issues are very awkward and different from the mainstream.
Do you feel like you helped pave the way, though, or are you still seeing too few tribal members on county councils?
I think I paved the way. I think I broke the ice. I think young, upcoming Native Americans will not be reluctant. They will know that I've done it, and I've served 16 years, and you'll see others. Well, as far as reapportionment, voters' district, as you know, that's done every 10 years when you have a census count. But it's not easy. It's very controversial. There's the fight between the ultra-conservative and the Republicans, the Democrats, and redistricting based on the party system. When it comes to Native Americans or minority population, same situation. As far as San Juan County, it's really up to the county commissioners to redistrict, reapportion the county based on the population. Back in the late 70s, a lawsuit has to be brought before the federal courts, and the court had to redistrict, force the county to redistrict, and that's how I became the first county commissioner. I remember when I became a county commissioner, Commissioner Calvin Black told me we were very funded when the federal government came here to redistrict San Juan County. We could have done it as a county commissioner, he was telling me, but I think that was just a lip service. Here again, it looks like the federal government is going to have to force the county to create a new district with a better, a balanced population.
Is there any hope at all that some kind of negotiations could lead to an out-of-court settlement?
The Navajo is open to negotiation. They realize that lawsuits and courts are very expensive, and it's a drain on the state and the county. But I don't think the county commissioners are willing to negotiate. So it's very unfortunate that we'll see the federal court creating a new district.
Do the Navajos and the Whites tend to live in their own universe and not mix much with each other, or is it some kind of in between?
Well, history will show here in San Juan County, there's always reluctance from the white population to work with Native Americans. But eventually, it always works out where the two populations always working together. For some reason, in the beginning, people don't want change.
That was Mark Maryboy, longtime Navajo activist from Montezuma Creek. His brother Ken serves on the current San Juan County Commission.
You're listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. A series of interviews from our southeastern Utah correspondent, John Kovash. We appreciate his work there. And coming up following a break, John concludes this Access Utah program on Native American voting rights in southeastern Utah with Phil Lyman, current county commissioner, recently famous for leading an ATV protest into Recapture Canyon. That's coming up following a break.
Programming on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our members and Crum Brothers Artisan Bread in Logan, open for breakfast Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. and Saturdays at 8 a.m., featuring croque madame et croque monsieur, made with sourdough bread, ham, and cheese. Menu details at crumbrothers.com. And the Utah Humanities Council, empowering Utahns to improve their communities through active engagement in the humanities. Online at utahhumanities.org.
Coming up on the next Bluegrass Breakdown, he's got 40 years in the business, playing with some of Bluegrassdom's finest. He's a teacher, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and multi-Grammy Award winner, currently playing with David Grisman, the Peter Rowan Bluegrass Band, and his own electrifying group. I'm Dave Higgs, and the Keith Little Band will be appearing live on the next Bluegrass Breakdown.
Saturday night at 10 on Utah Public Radio.